Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you, and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, broadcasting from London. In today's show, we ask the question, how should we maintain a healthy diet during Ramadan?
We live in a health and diet conscious world. It's universally recognized that eating a balanced and moderate diet, along with exercising, is the best way to maintain a clean bill of health. This is true even during the month of Ramadan outside fasting hours. Overeating at the end of the day is frowned upon, as it's said to negate the struggle of the day's fast. So what should we be eating outside daylight hours to provide the right sustenance and to be conducive to Ramadan etiquette? This week on Islam and Life we ask, how should we maintain a healthy diet during Ramadan?
This is a good question indeed, because very often when we speak about Ramadan, we focus on spirituality, and or for example, we focus during the day that we are fasting, not drinking, not eating, and we forget about speaking about the night and in which way we have to deal with our nights and in which way we have to deal with our spiritual journey into Ramadan during our nights. And it's something which is quite important. It's exactly the same when it comes to Ramadan. We speak about our heart, the way that we have to read the Quran, that we have to be close to Allah, to God, and all this is right. But at the same time, there is something which is, as prayers are the purification of our heart, Ramadan is the purification of the body. And there is something which is quite important. All the medical doctors are telling you the fact that we are fasting has an impact on our health, it has an impact on our life, and we need to have a very deep understanding of what we can do to have a better physical life, in fact. And this is also something which is connected with our spirituality. Ethics in Islam has to do with the way we deal with our body, because at the end of the day, this is also something that we have as a deposit, that we are not the owner, the only owner of our body, but we have to also, we are accountable before God of what we are doing with our own body. So these are questions that are quite important, and for us today to ask this question, what can we do to deal with our body? These questions are important, and to answer this question, I'm joined by Dr. Sinan Mir, primary care physician for the National Health Service with expertise in nutrition and interest in health and ethics, ethnic minorities. So I think that this is a good point for us. Thank you for being with us today. Let me start with this question when it comes to Ramadan. And as we know, during Ramadan we are fasting, and in the Quran it is said that this is a fast that was prescribed to all the other religions before. So there, it seems that there is a secret in the fact that we are fasting for our body. Can you say something first before entering in how can we eat and what should we eat during Ramadan?
Thank you very much for having me here. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. And you're right, I mean, from the beginning of time in many respects, fasting has always been prescribed in many religions, and there is something special about it. And it's only in this modern age with evidence-based medicine that we can really start to see the changes that occur in the body when we undertake a prolonged intermittent fasting. So there are numerous benefits, and you've highlighted and touched upon some of the spiritual benefits, and there are numerous physical benefits as well. Away from common Western medicine, there is a large strand, and there's a large group of people that talk of fasting as being a detoxification, as being a purification of the body.
Literally meaning,
literally,
yes.
In the sense that it allows, when undertaking a fast, the body starts to burn our excess fat, and this allows us to neutralize and eliminate some of the toxins in our body. They also propound the fact that there is, when we fast, we decrease the energy and we decrease the blood flow that flows to our digestive system. So there is a transfer of blood away from the digestive system to other parts of our body that allows us to boost our immune system and improve our metabolic profile. Thirdly, and what they would, what the proponents of fasting would say, is that the greatest benefit of fasting is the rejuvenating effect. And this is a lay term, and some people who have fasted before may say how they feel after a 30-day fast of Ramadan, how much better they feel within their self. And moreover, there is some evidence to state that fasting, and this is specifically in evidence from the 1950s, 1960s, looking at earthworm and mice, that when they put earthworm and mice in intermittent fasting for a day, eating for a day, they found that in these species, their life prolonged 19 to 20 times longer than species that were not fasted. And that's not to say that happens in humans, of course not, but the elements of rejuvenation and the alteration of certain hormones in the body that occur during fasting are clear, and they do occur.
So this is, I think, quite interesting for all of us, because really, it's not only the fact that, okay, some, you know, Muslims would say it means that this is the truth and that we are following the right path, that the Muslims, the believers, this is what they think. But in fact, there is something which is a teaching here, which is this very specific relationship between our body and our soul and our mind, which is very old understanding in the Greek philosophy, that this is something that we have to care about. This is a dimension of our life which is quite important. In fact, there is no well-being without us caring about our body. Because absolutely, there is no spirituality without physical caring, in fact, and understanding this. And as a medical doctor and working in that field, I think it's quite important to hear your voice saying and try feeding us with this dimension, and in which way it's quite important for anyone who wants to be close to God in a spiritual way to be very, very connected with her or his body. So here we are, fasting. What could be the best way to deal with our body when it comes to eating and drinking?
That's a very good question. And I'd like to first draw your attention to one study that was done in 1987 that will help give some context to the answer to that question. This is a study done on over 100 participants during Ramadan from Saudi Arabia. And they found when they measured their weight before Ramadan and they measured the amount of calories they had before Ramadan, and then they measured the number of calories they were having in the last few days of Ramadan, and they measured their weight at the end of Ramadan. Can you imagine, can you believe that the calories they were taking, 1,000 extra calories during Ramadan towards the end, and they put on 3, 4, 5 kilograms each during this month of Ramadan? So clearly, there is something wrong.
Yes, there is something wrong, and a misunderstanding and eating. This is known everywhere. In
absolutely
fact, that we have to understand, if we are serious about this discussion here, is that what is happening in the West and in Muslim-majority countries is the other way around. This is exactly the opposite of what we should do. So we have been saying this in many programs here, is that, in fact, the whole philosophy of Ramadan is not to eat more and not to come into the consumerist attitude, which is we eat more because we are fasting during the day, we don't understand. So this is where we want you, because Muslim scholars, and we can come and say, you know, the philosophy and the values. Now let us come to the practical things, what a medical doctor is saying. This is where you have to be. If you want to be serious and consistent with what Ramadan is all about, what should you do with your body, with your diet, with the way you eat and drink?
Absolutely. And The importance of advice is that advice should be simple and that it should be consistent, and you're absolutely right. And what we'd say, and just as we heard in the clip, is that a moderate, balanced diet is exactly what we should be taking 11 months of the year, and it doesn't change for that month during Ramadan. The moderate, balanced diet. What does a moderate, balanced diet mean? That's an important question. It means different things to different people, and different people in different cultures interpret that differently. What it means, at least in the context of the UK, of Europe, and what we would teach, what is propounded by the Department of Health, what the British Nutrition Foundation would say is a balanced, moderate diet. This is a diet that is primarily rich in what we'd say are complex carbohydrates and fiber. These are products that are slowly digested by the body, and they release a slow stream of glucose.
Like what?
These examples of complex carbohydrates essentially include grains and seeds. They would include things like wheat, barley, oats, beans, lentils, wholemeal flour. These are complex carbohydrates. Fibrous food. They're good because they stay in the body, they give a feeling of satiety, and they're slowly broken down. Such foods include bran, cereal, and fruits, dried fruit. Very good source of fiber. Vegetables, you know, fruit and vegetables, we recommend 5 times a day is what we say in this country. Other countries say 10 times a day. Other countries say 8 times a day. Most countries say we should eat more fruit and vegetables. And that's consistent during Ramadan. It's consistent during the rest of the year.
When? In the morning, early in the morning, as well as just when we break Ramadan, we break our fast?
It's a good question. I mean, during Suhoor, we know that we're going to have a prolonged period where we're not going to be eating. Mm. So during this Ramadan that's coming up, the period of time between when we eat initially in the morning and when we break our fast is 14, 15, 16 hours. Mm. A huge period of time,
In the UK, not around the world. It depends where we are.
In the UK, absolutely. So for people here in this country, it's 14 hours, but there or thereabouts, even 8 to 18 hours, let's say that period of time is still more than we would normally wait before we rejuvenate ourselves with food. So ideally, the purpose of food is to have something that does fill you up comfortably. It should be a meal, not a feast. Yeah, something that is filling and is slowly broken down. Yeah. Mm. And that includes complex carbohydrates and fiber. Things like rice, things like bread, things like dal or things like lentils, and things like dried fruit
In the morning.
And vegetables. If you can have a small amount in the morning, it's difficult to eat those things at 2, 3, 4, 5 in the morning. This is a new habit. Mm. And this is one of the difficulties of Ramadan. And we can talk about the change in our habit and how that affects us also shortly. But these are the ideal foods to take. They won't make you feel unwell, they won't be broken down quickly, and they'll stay in the body and they will allow you to function at least for the first part, for the first half of the fasting day, quite well.
Yeah.
What happens after during the day that we're fasting is that the foods that we take are broken down. Doesn't matter what you take, ultimately during the fasting day foods will be broken down. So our body naturally will have to produce more glucose. Glucose is the substrate of the body. This is the substrate that allows us to have energy and to function. 60% of that substrate is taken up by the brain for thinking and activity, but all our body relies on that substrate to function. So when we stop taking food or the food is broken down, our body starts to break our stores of glucose down. Then we utilize those substrates of glucose. Eventually, that will only last for about 4 hours. Then
the first 4 hours
this
of
is,
our
this yes. is the 4 hours after this is what we call
after
the,
our yes after we have broken this, down yes
exactly yes. yeah so we have when we eat at 4, 5, 6 in the morning before Fajr, we eat, this is the postprandial vegetative state, we've just eaten, then the food we eat 4 or 5 hours later will be broken down. This is the post-absorptive state. So medically, fasting is the metabolic state after we've digested and after we've eaten food and absorbed.
It starts at that time. Yeah.
Fasting, as we define it, is the beginning to the end.
Yes.
So what happens to our body is that we start to break down some of our stores of glycogen. These are found in our legs and our muscles, and this is found in our liver. But that only lasts for about 4 hours, 5 hours. Then our body needs to produce more glucose. This is when we start to break down our fat stores. You know, towards the end of a day of fasting and you start to notice the smell on your mouth. This is the process of our body breaking down fat. Our fat is being broken down. Two things happen. We start to make more glucose and our liver starts to produce an alternative fuel called ketones, which the body uses for energy. But when that is broken down, it produces something called acetone. And acetone gives this peary, fruity smell. It's a similar compound that we use in soaps and shampoos to give the smell. So this is the point when you can taste that smell in your mouth that you know you're burning fat. So that's important.
That's good to know.
That's good to know for people. If you're not encouraged by the fact that Allah loves the smell of the fasting mouth, then you can be encouraged by the fact you know you're losing fat. So then this is what happens until we break our fast. And the right thing to do at the end of breaking fast, of course, follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His sunnah and his advisors to take dates. Why dates?
Is there something special, with dates?
I mean, the good the important thing is, you can imagine, after having not eaten 14, 15, 16, 17 hours, you need a little bit of energy. You need a little bit of something that's easy for the body to give you a bit of a boost. And this is something sugary that is quickly absorbed that will give you the boost.
And
so dates are 97% carbohydrate that is broken down relatively quickly. There is no cholesterol, there is no fat in dates. Dates have an excellent source of potassium, excellent source of B vitamins, all things that are important for the heart to work and the muscles to work. Dried dates have the highest concentration of something called polyphenols. Polyphenols is a is a type of antioxidant. Antioxidants are responsible for decreasing our risk of cancer, decreasing our risk of heart disease. So dried dates have the highest concentration of any fruit. So there's multiple benefits, is that they're very rich and they give you a sugar rush, which is what you need, and that's the right thing to take in small amounts at the end of end of a day of fasting.
Small amounts,
2-3 dates will do the trick, because that gives you
which is exactly the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. But does it mean that if we eat too much, there is a counter effect or counterproductive effect here?
I mean, of the dates itself, ideally 2 or 3 dates. There's no point. Most people will take 1 or 2 dates and then they'll go and have a meal. That seems to be the habit. The important thing with that meal is that it should be just as the morning meal. It should be something that releases small amounts of energy slowly. And these include these things that we've mentioned: the whole wheel flour, the lentils, the beans, the wheat, and the fruits and the vegetables. These are the cornerstones of any healthy diet anywhere in the world. But what I can see subjectively is that that's not the practice of the people. After a day of fasting, the practice of the people is to have a feast. You know, it's fried foods, it's Indian sweets, it's baklava.
But this is exactly the question that I wanted to ask. Because what I heard for some medical doctors, what they are saying is that, in fact, if you don't follow not only the sunnah, but this, you know, don't eat too much, just be very cautious with everything that you are eating, it's something which has to do with, it's also a sacred attitude that you have towards anything which has to do with your Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and that you are trying to eat knowing that what your body needs. But what I heard is that when you eat too much, and when you eat, you know, all these things that we have in our, you know, the Muslim majority countries as well now, that as we are importing this in the West, it's counterproductive. In fact, it's not good for the body to just this kind of straight away we eat too much. Is it right that in fact it's not only that we are against the philosophy of Ramadan, but in fact, physically speaking, it's not good for your body?
Absolutely. I mean, first and foremost, and this is something that's very close to my heart, in the sense that a lot of the other work that I do is involved in dealing with ethnic minorities and about quantities of food that we eat. And one isolated example is the amount that we eat at the end of a day of fast. And it's understandable, you know? At the end of a day of fasting, even this table looks hungry. You know, we could eat this table. We're so hungry, but we don't need a large amount of food. When we eat lunch, dinner, breakfast, we don't need a large amount of food. Yeah, this is not the practice of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is not a good example, and this is not good for our bodies. Yeah, obesity has increased over these last 50 years. It is far and away a disease of affluence. It is a disease of materialism, it's a disease of consumerism, it's a disease of excess, it is a disease of greed. And day in, day out, too much food is responsible for numerous problems. A lot of the money that is being spent in dealing with health problems and preventing health problems is being shifted from traditional diseases to things like obesity, which are caused by problems of excess, inability to control.
Which is also quite important in all what we are saying about the spiritual involvement during Ramadan. Because when you eat too much at the end of the day, you get very quickly tired, and you feel that it's too much, that you cannot just... And while you know that during the night, it's the time to pray, it's the time to just to wake up and to have your mind and your heart open. It's once again, it's this dialogue between your body and your heart and your soul, which is so important. If you don't care about your body, you are going to have something which is a very, in fact, laziness in anything which has to do with your spiritual requirement.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. And everyone's had that experience of having a fatty meal. It doesn't matter if it's at the end of a day of fasting, but worse so at the end of a day of fasting. A fatty meal, you know, takes a long time for the body to digest. What happens is we eat food. This is the postprandial, this is the vegetative state. Blood rushes to our stomach to try and help break it down and to try and help absorb it. So all this food and all this blood rushing to our stomach makes us weak, makes us lazy, it makes us sleepy. And everyone's had that experience. And this is not a good example, and it's not good for our body. Mm-hmm. It's not good for our body to be in that state.
And also, yes, because it's changed the whole perspective of Ramadan, and also for all the people around us, just to show them in which way, in fact, we're understanding the philosophy of Ramadan, the principles and the objectives, which is, in fact, not to push us towards something which is, once again, to lose, you know, anything which has to do with this spiritual commitment. We need energy, and to eat too much is just to lose energy. One question that I want to ask you, if we follow the all what you are saying, should we at the end of Ramadan have lost weight, yes or no? Is it because some you know, once again I was talking to a medical doctor, and he told me, no, it's not normal. If you do it, you can just remain the way you are. And our perception, because we fast, we think that we have to lose weight. And you were just saying at the beginning, look at this, people who are not understanding the philosophy of Ramadan, and they are gaining weight. So what is the right answer?
Good question. I mean, what is shown from the studies of people, that we've looked at people all around the world and see what happens to their weight during Ramadan? The commonest thing that happens is that people either stay the same weight or they lose a small amount of weight. Yeah. In some isolated cases, mainly the data shows that in Saudi and in Morocco specifically, these are two places where people often increase weight during this month of Ramadan. But mostly, taking the world as an example, people do stay the same weight or lose a small amount. I don't see why not. I don't see why people should not lose weight during Ramadan. Often when we undertake any diet, if anyone has dieted, they will find that within the first week or two that they will lose comparatively a large amount of weight. And this is often water loss. Yeah, we lose water very quickly. Water is responsible for 70% of our weight. And this is also something that happens during Ramadan.
Yes.
Especially in hot countries, we do become slightly dehydrated during the day, and we will lose a small amount of water. That's one way in which we can lose weight. The second way is, as long as we eat moderately at suhoor, eat moderately at iftar, eat moderately during the hours of when we're not fasting, we should lose weight. That would be the norm. Yeah?
That's good. Doctor, we don't have much time, but I just want you to come with a final practical advice to the people who are watching us. What would be I want to make it good. I want to experience it good. So what could be your final advice to every single man and woman listening or watching us right now?
I think I would quote the ayah of the Quran, where Allah has said, eat of the good and wholesome things that we have provided for your sustenance, and indulge not in excess therein. Indulge not in excess physically is the best way to maximize your Ramadan, both physically and inshallah spiritually.
Thank you so much. I think that during this discussion, once again, I think that what you were saying from the very beginning is something which is, we said it before in other programs, but I think it's quite important here, is Ramadan is not only fasting for our soul and our mind, it's also fasting for our body. And it has a philosophy which is to protect ourselves from any kind of excess. This is what the verse is saying in the Quran, but also in the way that we are dealing with modern societies and consumerism. If we are serious about the philosophy of Ramadan, it's to start with this. And what you are saying is that now we know, you know, medical sciences are telling us that we know that the way we should eat and what we should eat and in which way you have to deal with our body early in the morning, and then when we break our fast, never to eat too much, just to try to preserve our body, and to understand that this is a communication between our body and our mind and our soul. And we were talking about praying during the night, and understanding that when you eat, just you have to prepare yourself. So it's not to eat to break the fast, it's also to eat to prepare yourself to the night, to come and to be able to pray. And all this is connected. So once again, we get from all the message that we have here something which is the comprehensive approach of Islam, take care of your soul, take care of your mind, take care of your body, because at the end of the day you are going to be questioned about everything. So there is something which is this communication with God, and it's also for us, for our fellow citizens around the world, our fellow brothers and sisters in humanity, to understand in which way, by being very, very committed to fasting and with caring our bodies, it's a spiritual message that we are spreading all around. Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen, and here is how to contact us.
We'd like to hear your views on today's show, as well as ideas for future programs. You can do this by emailing us at islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. You can also join our Facebook page by searching Islam and Life on Press TV, where you can view past programs, keep up to date on future shows, leave comments, and meet other Islam and Life fans.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, Dr. Sinan Mir. Thank you so much for being here, and as a medical doctor, to help us understand better what is going on with our fasting. And I hope to see you next week, inshallah.